Acts 27, if you would, please. One thing I want to emphasize to you tonight, the Lord has been good, and I thank the Lord for his faithfulness down through the years. And let me say, I said to Brother Ross coming in today, I called him up, I said, I heard the storm warning, there's a storm heading straight for you guys at 3:30. He said, yeah, we already know about it. I said, well, it's a coming, I've just seen it. But as I came over here, I came past that little old white building down here at Wilford. And that's where it all began. That's where I first met Brother Robert Ross and his family. And that's where we were first taken on for support as missionaries. I was telling Brother Ross, when his dad was there, we came by one Sunday. We were looking for somewhere to go to church. We didn't have a meeting that morning, and we'd already been a couple of other places, and we didn't like what was going on there. So this little old white brick building, block building, had a sign out the front, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, and said, well, that's where we're going this morning. So that's where we went. So and then we went back to the field, and we got a letter saying that the folks had decided to take on our support. And then, of course, did Wilford merge with this church? Okay, merged. And then we started getting this support from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Incidentally, we had a church in Houston, Texas, used to support us, Brother Ross. Then all of a sudden they stopped supporting us. And then about 6 months later we started getting support from this church way up in the top left-hand corner of Arkansas. And I thought, where'd that come from? Never been there. I don't even know the name of the church. So I wrote the preacher, I wrote the church, says, dear brother, I don't know who you are, I don't know where you are, I've never been there, but I don't know how come we're getting support from you. Is this a mistake? And he wrote back and said, no, brother, this is Brother Ed. We were down in Houston, Texas, but we decided to merge the two churches. So there you go, mate, from Houston, Texas to way up there north of Fort Smith, Arkansas. The people down there just packed up, sold up, and moved up to Arkansas, and they merged the churches up there. All right, let's merge into the Word of God, Acts 27. Father, speak to our hearts tonight through your Word, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me say personally from my wife and from myself, thank you so much for your years of faithfulness and your support to us, and for the letters and cards that we get from you and the gifts, and we really appreciate that so much. Now, if my wife was able to travel at the pace that I travel, it's not that she's older than me, and it's not that she's not fitter than me or not fit like me, but it's just she can't travel as fast as I can, and she can't cope with the speed and the pace that I do things. So that's why she couldn't come with me. So she apologises for not being here. But I want to just bring a short message tonight on they didn't believe what he said. In Acts chapter 27, Paul said in verse 21, or it says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. See, Paul had already warned these people, if we launch out there into the Mediterranean from this island, we're going to be in trouble. And basically they said, well, what would you know? You're only a preacher. See? This fella here, he sails the Mediterranean. He is a shipmaster, a captain. We'll follow his direction. So they did. And they got into trouble. See, it pays to listen to the man of God. It pays to listen to the Word of God. It doesn't matter what the professionals may say. But listen, if a man has his finger on the Word of God and the Spirit of God is guiding that man through the Word of God, pay attention and listen to what God says, because some of the greatest people in the Word of God failed to heed what God said. They failed to listen to God's man. They failed to listen to God's message. Now, Paul said, you should have listened, you should have hearkened, but you didn't. Verse 22. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. He said, you wouldn't listen before, but I'm telling you now, God's guarantee. We're going to lose the ship, but none of you are going to be lost. All you have to do is do what I tell you. Now, verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, I be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. If you lift that verse out of there tonight and just get the sentence here where the Apostle Paul said, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. from the pages of Genesis through Revelation, everything that God says in his word is going to be fulfilled precisely as he said it would be. There will be no mistakes. There will be no adjustments. There will be no surprises for the Lord. Everything is on track. And it's all going to be fulfilled precisely according to God's word. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. If you look there with me quickly, in verse 16 and verse 17, God created man, put him in the Garden of Eden, and God said to Adam, here in Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Everybody understanding me okay? Not going too fast? Okay. So the message was plain. God said, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. Isn't that what God said? All right, go over to Genesis chapter 3. Of course, the devil come along, and this is what the devil said to Eve in verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." So here God says, "You shall surely die." The devil said, "Thou shalt not surely die." So who did Adam and Eve believe? They didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe what he said. They'd rather believe the devil. They'd rather believe a lie than the truth, because the devil came along and he made it look good. He made it sound good. He said, "Nothing's going to happen. Nothing to worry about. It's okay. Just go ahead. Help yourself." See? And that's what's happening in your country. That's what's happening in my country. That's what's happening around our world. And it's been going on for centuries. The Lord says something in his word. The devil comes along and he contradicts what God says. Now, I've got kids in the public schools that you've seen here, and I'll say to these kids, lost kids, any of you kids ever have a problem where you go to do something wrong and you have that little voice that says, you better not do that, you'll get in trouble? And they'll all raise their hand. And I'll say, well, what about this? Do you ever go to do the right thing and you think about it and you think, no, I'm going to do the wrong thing, it'll be okay. And that other voice comes along and says, "No one will know. It's okay." So you've got two voices here. One says, "Don't do it." You've got another one that says, do it. It's okay. Does that ever happen? And they all put up their hands. I said, "What is that?" They didn't know. I said, "Well, one is a conscience that God gave you to know right from wrong. And when you go to do the wrong thing, that conscience says, you better not do that. You'll be in trouble." But then the devil comes along and says, "It's okay. Go ahead. Help yourself. No one will know." And so I said, that's how you know the reality that there is a devil. The spirits, seducing spirits, will try and get you to do the wrong thing. Just like the serpent did to Eve. In the days of Noah, God looked down on the earth and saw the wickedness of man and grieved God at his heart. So he said, "I will destroy man from off the face of the earth." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, "I want you, Noah, to build an ark for me and make it so long, so wide, so high." And we know the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We know that he built that ark by faith, Hebrews 11, motivated by fear to build that ark, and then he warned those people of the impending judgment of God. We know that he was a preacher of righteousness, and we know that they mocked and they scoffed because they didn't believe what he said. All those years Noah built that ark, he remained faithful, he remained true, and he just plugged away and plugged away till the job was done, and constantly warned them of the impending judgment of God. They didn't believe what he said. God said, "Come thou into the ark." God locked the door, and for 1 week inside that ark, nothing happened. So what were those mockers and scoffers doing during that 1 week? I'll guarantee the noise got louder outside the ark. I'll guarantee that they were saying, where's the flood, Noah? Where's the rain, Noah? Where's the judgment of God, Noah? See, making fun of God, making fun of Noah, making fun of the message. Then all of a sudden, 1 week later, the ground began to shake. The earth began to tremble. The earth burst open and the water began to pour out of the earth and the windows of heaven burst open. I'll guarantee you that all of a sudden everybody said, "Hey, this thing is real. I believe. Let me in the ark. Let me on board." Too late. You missed the boat. You didn't believe what God said. You missed the salvation. And not only that, you've got the damnation now because you didn't believe what God said. People are going to die and go to hell because they don't believe what God says in America, in Australia, and all over the world. Now, I get to talk and to witness to people in America. I'm guaranteed everybody in America saved. Everybody I get to witness to knows the Lord. That's right. I got to witness to this old lady over in, what was that place? Memphis, Missouri. Did you know there's a Memphis, Missouri? It's just south of Iowa. And she was a sweet old lady, and I said to her, I said, "Do you know the Lord Jesus as your own personal saviour?" She said, "Oh, yes, I do." And then I said to her, "So how long have you known him?" She said, "I trusted him as my saviour when I was 12 years old. Well, I pretty well guarantee that she's a saved lady. But I get to talking to some other people. I pulled into a motel the other night, right, and I thought, you know, where in the world did this come from? Pull my port, that's my suitcase, see, there's that word. I pulled my port out of the car and sat it on the footpath, that's on the sidewalk. Then I pulled out my guitar and I sat it on top of my port, and then drives this black Cadillac from off the highway, and this fellow leans out and he said, "You want to sell that guitar?" I said, "Where'd that come from?" I said, "Nah," I said, "you can't afford it." I said, "It wouldn't be any good to you." Well, he said, "Let's have a look at it." I thought, what's this all about? So anyway, I said, okay. I opened it up, said, "There you go." He said, "That's a beautiful guitar, but it's no good to me." I said, "Well, I already told you that. It's just left-handed, see?" Anyway, he pulls out his guitar and shows me his. I thought, oh. He said, "Anyway, what do you do?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher and I'm just going reporting to my church." He says, "Oh, that's good stuff, he reckons. We all believe in Jesus too." I said, "Oh, is that right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, I go around telling people how to get saved so they can know Jesus Christ as their own personal saviour so they can be saved and go to heaven." He said, "Well," he said, "your guitar's no good to me, so I can't buy it." He said, "Anyway, we're going down to play down at the bar. You want to come down?" He said, "Oh, hang on a minute. No, I guess you don't want to go down there." So, you know, I don't think those folks were saved, and I don't think they took my Christianity too seriously. But you see, this is the problem that we've got. There are many people who name the name of Jesus, but they don't believe what God says. In closing tonight, let me say, that fellow with the beard you saw there tonight that got saved when he was 16, standing on the street one Thursday night in Townsville, he said, "Hey, mate, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to know more." Two of my men took him home and led him to the Lord that night, and he's been serving the Lord ever since. He took me out to the rubbish dump back before I came over, about 6 months ago. Had me meet a man by the name of Mark Taylor. You may have seen his name in my prayer letters. Mark Taylor is a degreed psychologist, but he now works at the rubbish dump, and what he does is handles, recycles green waste. So I got to meet this fella, and Arthur said, "You know, I've witnessed to him for a couple of years now, but he won't accept the Lord." So he said to Mark Taylor, he said, "Hey, Mark, I want you to meet Bernie Hong." And Mark said, "Hello, how you going?" And he said, "Mark, I want you to tell Bernie Hong how to get saved." Now remember, this guy is an unbeliever, he's a degreed psychologist, and he's now working at the rubbish dump with green waste. He said, "Bernard," he said, "here's the problem." He said, "You're a sinner and we're all sinners, and we need to trust Jesus Christ as our own personal saviour. Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, but they nailed him to a cross, and he rose 3 days later to prove that he was God in human flesh." And he said, "The only way you can be saved and go to heaven is to know Jesus as your saviour. You must repent of your sin, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive your sin and trust him." Not bad from an unsaved fella, eh? How many people sitting in churches can tell you the same thing? And are they saved? Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder. I said to him, "Well, why did you give up being a psychologist, Mark?" He said, "Psychology just hasn't got the answers." He said, "Actually, I think this has got better answers than psychology's got." Now, that's the truth of it. That came from a secular humanist who was a psychologist who now just deals in green waste. He gave up psychology because it hasn't got the answers. He thinks and feels this has got the answers, but he's just not willing to make the break and trust God and trust Jesus Christ. If he dies without Christ, he's going to go to hell. Father, thank you for your Son, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of these people. Thank you for the testimony of this church. Continue to bless Brother Ross and the people here. Speak to hearts in these closing moments. In Jesus' name, amen.